Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
So a brief talk this morning on case 22 of the Mumin Khan called Kashyapa's Flagpole. Two koans in the Mumin Khan. One koan is, what do you do when you get to the top of the 100-foot pole? And this one is about Kashyapa's Flagpole. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Mark was here and gave a wonderful teisho on koan study. So just a brief reminder that ultimately, we realize that a koan is a friend. You know, in the beginning, many of us hate the koan because it makes no sense whatsoever. But after a while, that changes. And we realize that this is a crucial part of our practice. Not all of our practice, but a very crucial part. And in Zen, particularly Japanese Zen, American Zen, Korean Zen, the koan is used almost exclusively. And there are two forms of Zen. And one is the Rinzai form, which is called referred to as the sudden school. And the other is the Soto school, which is referred to as the gradual school. So Rinzai Zen is characterized by the koan. And the Soto Zen is characterized by Shikantaza. Now, that's sort of the very distinct difference, but particularly in this lineage, both are used, the koan and the shikantaza. And a lot of it has to do with the temperament of the student. Koans are not for everybody. And so part of working with a teacher is finding out which is the best method. No particular one is better than the other, but they are different. So we try to tailor each one to the particular temperament of a student. And I know I've used this before, but I like it, so I'm going to use it again. The best approach to a koan was described by Yogi Berra. Is there anybody who doesn't know who Yogi Berra is? A famous Yankee catcher. He was known for a variety of sort of off-the-wall sayings. Yogi said that you can't hit and think at the same time. And that's a koan, right? That's how we take up a koan. You cannot really join a koan and think at the same time. And in the books of koans, they generally have different parts to them. And the first part is what they call the case, and that's the koan itself. The second part is a commentary on the koan. And the third part, then, is there's a verse that reflects the heart of the koan. And then, finally, at the end, there are a few words to tie up all of this. So let me read about Kashyapa's flagpole. So here's the case. And there's two characters. One is Ananda, and the other is Kashyapa. So Ananda asked Kashyapa, in all earnestness, now in this particular book, every question that's asked by a student is always followed by in all earnestness. So I hope you listen in all earnestness. So Ananda asked Kashyapa in all earnestness, the world honored one transmitted the brocade robe to you. What else did he transmit to you? And Kashyapa called, Ananda! And Ananda replied, yes, master, Kashyapa said. And Kashyapa said, knock down the flagpole. Now, anybody have any ideas about knocking down flagpoles? Has anybody ever knocked down a flagpole? That's just as well. So I'm going to read a verse, which is actually from a different koan, but somehow to me it fits. Knock down the flagpole. And the verse is, lightning flashing, sparks shooting from a flint, a moment's blinking, it is already missed. You could say that about any koan. Lightning flashing, sparks shooting from a flint, a moment's blinking, a moment of thought, it's already missed. So Ananda was a very intelligent man who had an extraordinary memory. And after the Buddha died, there was an assembly called of 500 of his enlightened disciples. And they wanted to, what they wanted to do was compile all of the words, all of the different teachings that he gave. And so because of his intelligence and his incredible memory, Ananda was called to this meeting. And he was sort of the center of the meeting. And he recited each of the sermons for the assembly. And everybody present agreed that his memory of that particular talk was exactly as the Buddha had uttered. And so it's for this reason that most of the time a sutra begins with, "Thus I have heard." That comes from Ananda. "Thus I have heard. Thus I have heard what the Buddha said." So eventually, Ananda attained realization. And he continued to practice under Kashyapa for 20 years. And he believed that his enlightenment was the same enlightenment of the Buddha and the patriarchs. But gradually, as he practiced with Kashyapa, he began to doubt and wondered if there was something else, besides his own experience. So he went to Kashyapa, and he said, "Did the world honored one transmit anything besides the brocade robe?" So the brocade robe really is like the braksu, or there's another thing that we get in transmission, which is called a stole. You know, it was symbolic of the transmission of the Buddha to any one of his particular followers. So he's looking for something more. Something more. What else? Tell me, what else is there? So let me read the case again. Ananda asked Kashyapa in all earnestness, "The world honored one transmitted the brocade robe to you. What else did he transmit?" Kashyapa called, "Ananda!" And Ananda replied, "Yes, master." Kashyapa said, "Knock down the flagpole at the gate." So what is Kashyapa talking about when he says to Ananda, "Knock down the flagpole at the gate"? So one of the things that we have to remember about a koan, it is not necessarily a simple expression of the way. A lot of the time it is poetical and metaphorical. So Kashyapa didn't just say in some simple way, "This is it." And I think the reason that that happens is that a simple, basic explanation stirs the mind. It gets caught in the mind. Whereas a metaphor sort of eludes the mind. You know, it's like Yogi said, we can't think and hit at the same time. So knocking down the flagpole is really a metaphor. The flagpole is a metaphor for all the thoughts and the concepts and the philosophies that a student has. So what is he saying? He says, "Knock down the flagpole. Get rid of all those thoughts. Let them go." And in this encounter, because Ananda was ripe, he was asking a question, and he was ripe for the answer. So he did not receive these words as directions, but as a direct pointing at his true nature. And as a result, he received deep enlightenment. So what does that mean in our daily life when we knock down the flagpole? So the flagpole gets in the way of living our life. Right? If you and I have a relationship and my flagpole hasn't been knocked down, the relationship is going to be shaped by all the ideas that I think about you, all the ways that I think about who you are. And I'm probably not going to listen. Right? I'm going to project all my ideas and philosophies onto you, right? Because the flagpole is still standing. But if I am able, through practice, to knock down the flagpole, then I will have a more direct relationship and be willing to listen rather than to impose all of what I think I know. So the knocking down of the flagpole is not some esoteric thing in a monastery, you know, emptying themselves of these concepts. It's easy to live this out in a monastery. it's much more difficult than it is to live out in the real world, so to speak. So what follows is I'm going to read a few lines from a poem by Jane Hirschfeld called Lake and Maple. And you ought to read the whole thing. It's a beautiful poem. But these lines are, I want to give myself utterly as this maple that burned and burned for 3 days without stinting, and then two more dropped off every leaf. Now that to me is the heart of this koan. There's an old instruction that we should sit as though we, in our para, we had a burning iron ball. Right? With that intensity, that fire, that's how we should sit. And that's the metaphor that's being provided. I don't know if that's what she meant, but I'm using it. This fiery red leaves just before they fall. That's that hot iron ball, that energy, that focused energy. And then what happens? It all drops away. The leaves drop off. And so it's about emptying ourselves. Knocking down the flagpole is about emptying ourselves to each other, to our lives in a very different way. So just like I'm talking about taking this experience, knocking down the flagpole and taking that experience into the world, you could extend the metaphor of this tree. And each one of us expresses the truth of knocking down the flagpole. We don't have to go into the world and be heroic. We can simply live our lives open and clear, whether it's as a parent or a lover or as a garbage man, whatever it is, we can live open and direct. So if you look at a tree, what does a tree do? What does a tree offer? Well, it offers its beauty. I mean, you think about this description. How beautiful is a tree in the fall? And how beautiful is when it starts budding in the spring? And in the summertime, it protects us from the sun and from the rain. And the sound of its leaves blowing in the wind are also beautiful, that sound. And it's also a place for a child to climb. And a branch holds a swing for the family to swing on. And it's a place for sparrows to rest. And it's almost endless what this tree offers. So it's a simple tree, nothing spectacular, simply being a tree. And in being a tree, it offers so much to the world around it. So we can be a tree. We don't have to be a hero or a heroine. So just to end these thoughts and concepts and philosophy, when they drop away, then we begin to offer ourselves to the world in our own particular, unique way. So good luck with that flagpole.